Basically, I want to share today vision for 2013, some of the prophetic stuff that God has been releasing, some of the things he's sharing me. I was often during the month of December, just pray, seek God and ask him for a word. Okay, what do you want to do in the coming year? Last year, I brought a word about transformation and stuff, which wasn't actually that nice in the end of it, but God has been transforming us in the last year. It's been pretty difficult, but we're here and moving forward. This year's word, I was waiting and waiting. I didn't really get anything specific. And then we met here on the 31st to welcome Jesus into the new year and to pray and worship together. And it was great. And I just had this great download of stuff. So I want to just share some of that today. But in context of whatever God is actually saying is in context of what he's already said ahead. So we have this prophetic timetable in which we're looking for what God is going to do. And we're in that place where we need to be open for him to actually do it. And for us, that's been a place of fire. And I'm sure there's going to be more of that. But in 2010, we saw that it was the time for the eagle. In the Bible, there's four living creatures in Revelation that talks about the four faces of God. The eagle, the lion, the ox, and the man. And in 2010, we had, and I saw a lot, and other people did, the eagle, which was about prophetic revelation. In 2011, we had a lot of visitations from the lion of the tribe of Judah, who is worthy to unlock the scroll. The scroll talks about destiny, talks about God's purposes. And so we had that. There was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in 2011, where the presence of God came. We saw healings and that type of thing as a forerunner of that scroll. 2012 represented the ox. The ox is about perseverance in prayer and it's about transformation. 2013, about man. What is it that God is going to do through his people? Now, over about 3 years ago, I had these four words, investiture, succession, enthronement, and coronation. And those words, at the time, I didn't really understand what they meant and what context they were in. But I did some, so okay, was investiture, and you know, it was all about investing a future king or queen with authority, and they're clothed with authority. Succession is when the old king dies or queen dies, and the new one takes their place. After that, there's enthronement, when the actual enthronement takes place, and then there's the coronation. And I thought, well, okay, well, what are you saying? And it's been clear that this has been tied in with what God has been doing with us over the last few years. 2010, we saw a whole lot of prophetic revelation where books were opened and the heavenly realms were opened to us in a way in which hadn't been before. 2011, we saw that destiny scroll revealed and we saw an outpouring in the Spirit, which I believe was an investiture of future authority. It was just a forerunner and a taste of what's coming. 2012, succession, transformation, the old dying, where we learnt to persevere through that process. 2013, I believe we're going to start to see some enthronement. Enthronement is where the context of the transformation gets outworked. Because if you're just caught in transformation all the time and don't see what its purpose is, it can get fairly wearing. So what is the purpose of transformation? It is so we take our places and fulfill our kingdom calls in God. We have a mission. God has called us to be forerunners of inheritance. A Joshua generation who went in, took the land, and taught others to do the same, an apostolic resource center. I believe this year we're going to start to see revelation of the person of God. His glory, not just his presence, which is great, but his glory. That would release grace and justice and judgment in that glory. And an expression of judgment is where light comes and it exposes darkness, and I believe that's going to take place. So investiture, 2011, we were entrusted with an outpouring of power. Last year, 2012, there was succession that started to take place, entrusted with transformation at a much deeper level. And a lot of us felt that. Enthronement, 2013, new levels of heavenly and earthly authority. New levels of power and manifestations of God's glory, which is good news. That's what we think. I don't know what it will be like exactly, but I know when God starts to show up and his presence comes into a dimension of glory, then things again have to change. Coronation, Who knows what that will be? So in this investiture, we saw various prophetic things released. Crowns, mantles, swords, scepters, a lot of things which were symbols of authority. In 2012, we saw the dethroning of self. And we looked at the whole thing of familiar spirit and spiritual forces in the heavens, removing of stumbling blocks and a refining of our lives so that we will be more like Jesus. That our characters, that who we are, would be refined into the image of Jesus. 2013, enthronement is about the rule and exercise authority in the heavenly realms and manifesting God's kingdom on earth in and through our lives as it is in heaven. So there's going to be a whole dimension of manifestation of what God's kingdom, his will, his rule is on earth through our lives if we're willing. There is an invitation to really know God. And in this, I want to just share some of the things and highlight some of the things that God actually spoke to me on the 31st of December, and then I'll read all the word out. But he's inviting us to come where he is and be immersed in the river of glory. There will be a revelation of God's heart, justice and judgment, and an invitation to come as a body, not just individuals, but as a body, come to the mercy seat, the place where the blood of Jesus is covering and where the cherubs cover that mercy seat, and an invitation to come to the judgment seat. I'm not going to go into that in detail. I'm sure God will give clarity of that in the future. I believe God has said that the veils between the different realms is thinning. Therefore, there's going to be much more evidence of a crossover between the spiritual and the natural realm. Much more angelic manifestations, the cloud of witnesses, the seven spirits of God, mantles of power being released, where we move from a subjective presence of God to an objective glory of God. Because when we're in a meeting and you hear what people say about the meeting, everybody's perspective is where they're at. So some people say, well, that was a fantastic meeting. I met with the presence of God in the worship and God spoke to me. And someone else will say, oh, that wasn't much today. Because it's subjective to where you are individually, what's going on with you, what it's like. But God doesn't want it just to be subjective. He wants it to be objective. That he shows up and everyone sees him. Whether it's a glory cloud, whether it's something, because those types of things are starting to happen. Physical manifestations of his presence. And I believe we're going to start to see some of those. God's glory will inhabit what looks like him and what is patterned after heaven. Hence why God wants us to be transformed and shaped individually, corporately, into something in which he can say, that belongs to me. I own that and I'm going to come. Therefore, when judgment starts to come to God's household overall, there will be a division and a separation. It will be, this is me, this isn't. That's up to God to do. The authentic church is going to rise up. Glory will start to manifest. The presence will leave that old wineskin behind, and there will be persecution. You have to expect any old move of God always persecutes a new one. That's what tends to happen, because people don't like God doing something new. Because it confronts us to think differently about who we are and what we do. Spiritual warfare will intensify. So those manifestations of glory will come as God comes to affirm and authenticate what belongs to him. I believe we're going to see an increase in healing and miracles. We're going to establish healing rooms, which will enable us to do that, but also in our meetings and in worship and in the sounds that come from heaven, in breaking bread, we're going to see healing miracles and many more miracles besides. There is going to be an exchange of the old things for the new things. An anointing of joy and gladness. Who's glad about that? Who wants some joy? Who wants some gladness? Well, God is promising he's going to come with joy and gladness and anoint us with that presence of his spirit. There's going to be a focus on the context of our mission and not just the process. So why are we here? What's God called us to do? God has given us seven mountains, which are mandates of our mission. They're just an illustrative thing in the heavenly realms. Mountains equal places of authority where there are thrones. It's the sphere of authority that God has given us of an apostolic mandate, which means God gives direction to say, this is your mission. It comes from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. That is where our particular calling and anointing comes from. Jesus translates that in Luke 4:18 and puts a spin on it. What it is for us, it's seven areas of responsibility, of life transformation, good news to the poor. And the poor is not just poor physically. It's anybody who doesn't know Jesus, because they're without something that God intends them to have, blessing. There's health, sight to the blind. There's freedom, freedom to any sort of captivity and bondage. Freedom, again, from the oppressed, which is harmony and rest and coming into wholeness and peace. There is blessing and prosperity, the favorable year of the Lord. God has given us a mandate for media to be able to pronounce the good news right across the board in all sorts of different ways. And he's given us a mandate for enterprise to do things in enterprising, new and exciting ways. And there is an anointing of success upon that. And we need to actually have people who are ruling in those areas of authority. It's no point having places of authority if no one is actually ruling there. And I believe this year we're going to start to see that rule of God in those spheres of authority that God's given us start to get outworked. Joshua generation. It's what the blog that we run, Jeremy does the blog of some of the teaching I did a couple of years ago, and we're on that whole thing at the moment of the Joshua generation, equipping and mentoring people in a supernatural lifestyle. That's what it is. Joshua went in to the promised land and took a generation with him. There were another generation who wouldn't go. There's going to be a Joseph anointing, and I will explain that in the future. ARC, you see, an apostolic resource center is not just having a building. It's having a vision. It's having something that releases God. And God wants to have cities of refuge, places that people can come and find safety and security where they can be equipped. There's going to be a local and a regional model of that, which is going to be released in the future. Now the question is, why are we here? Why are we here this morning? You might say, well, why are we here in general? Why are we on earth and not in heaven? Because why has God left us here? Because actually he's in heaven. So and everything will be easier there, and it is. But why are we here? Mandate. Greater purposes. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it, over everything. That is our general mandate as God's people. To be like him, to be blessed, that means to be anointed, to succeed and to prosper, to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. That is our general purpose. The great commandment. Jesus brought this down into something very practical. Luke 10:27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and with all your mind. And when you've done that, actually that will enable you to love your neighbor as yourself. So there's three things there we have to find relationship with God, with our neighbors, and ourselves. And the love of God has to be manifested through all those things. Because God is love. And the Great Commission. Someone said it was the Great Commission and not the Great Suggestion. A lot of us take it as the Great Suggestion. It's an option whether we share this Jesus that we have a relationship with. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority. How much is all authority? Is there any authority outside of that authority? No. Has been given to me, where? In heaven and on earth. And therefore, go. Go therefore. So in light of all the authority that Jesus has, literally he gives us that authority in heaven and earth to go and do what? Make disciples of all the nations. And actually, literally, it means to disciple the nations, not just individuals, but the world. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So everything that Jesus said to his disciples, we are commissioned to go and teach other people to do the same. Therefore, we need to know what Jesus has done, what he wants to have done, what he's doing today. We need to be involved with that. Because he promises to be with us even to the very end of the age. This never stops until Jesus returns. That's our commission. So we need to take it seriously. That means we need to be a worshiping community who honor and worship and love God first. It means to we need to be a fellowshiping community. We need to love each other. And we need to be a mission community. We need to have our mission in the center of what we do and who we are. Our identity is about that. The government that God's given us is about that. The mission that we have is all about worshiping, fellowshipping, and having a mission to the community in which we live. Why are we here? Are we a club for our members? No. I'm glad everyone said that. We should be a community for our non-members. We're here to bring others into the love of God, to demonstrate God's love, to show people what God is truly like. Not the image that they get on the TV and the Vicar of Dibley and all the other stuff, which doesn't promote God in a very good light. We need to see true, authentic Christianity, which is power and authority on heaven, in heaven, on earth, doing the things that Jesus did. Now, none of us are there 100%, so there's work to be done. But God wants us to embrace our mission and start to outwork it. I had an encounter during the year in a vision, which was when we were meeting with a whole load of Southwest leaders from Dorset right down to Cornwall. And in this encounter, I met this prince warring angel. Now, this angel told me his name was Haraniel, and he was big. In this vision, he had one foot standing on the north coast and one foot standing on the south coast. Now, I don't know how many miles that is as the crows flies, but it's probably 70, 80, I don't know, maybe more miles. So this was a big angel. And I'm sort of looking at him, and in one hand he had a spade and the other hand a torch. Now, I'm sort of intrigued by this point. What are you up to? What are you doing? And he basically told me that he was redigging ancient wells. Wells of anointing that have been there in the past that have been blocked up. And digging fresh new wells. New wells. These weren't wells of water. They were wells of anointing oil. Oil in the Bible talks of anointing, the presence and power of God to accomplish something. And then I saw the angel put the torch to the wells. And each of the wells became pillars of fire. The pillars started to join together and form a flaming canopy over the whole region. Now, last year we made a connection, this highway connection with Totnes in the south to establish the 2 feet over the north and the south. This year there's going to be an establishing of a regional apostolic council in which the authority of God is going to be released. Another encounter I had when we were doing the supernatural workshops, we had quite a few encounters with God in the heavens. And in one of these encounters, I went to an angelic court. Now, we've been familiar with the mobile court in which we deal with accusation. This was a higher level court. There were angels sat in this court and they were writing things. And they would give me a scroll. Now, usually when you get a scroll from God, the Bible encourages you to eat it, which means you take it on the inside of you as Ezekiel did. And it starts to change you and gives you that mandate on the inside. I wasn't allowed to eat it, which I was confused over. But I was told to go and plant it like a seed in my garden. Garden, part of our heart, where we can engage with God. And as I did this, this tree came up, which was all full of golden stuff. And then silver trumpets grew on the tree. I thought, well, what's all this about? Because it was like, it was a really significant encounter. And I know when I have those sort of encounters, it means something. Well, when I looked up silver trumpets, I found there was only scripture in the Bible about it, Numbers 10:2, make yourself two silver trumpets of silver of hammered work. You shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for breaking the camp. So this year, God is going to summon us to hear revelation, because when they summoned them, the presence of God came to the tent of meeting and came into the midst. And for breaking the camp, for setting direction of going out. So that's some of the things God is going to do this year. A time for removal of limitations and ceilings. Some of us just don't see the potential that God has for our life. We're limited by our past. It's time that those limits and those ceilings are removed. God is going to deliver us from thinking processes that limit the future. God says, now is the time to arise and shine as the dawning of a new day. We need to see there's new things coming. Just before Christmas, I think it was on a Friday night when we were here, I saw a number of men in white linen. Now, who are men in white linen? Hebrews 12:1. They're the cloud of witnesses that surround us. So they surround us in the spiritual realm. And they're a cloud of witnesses that come from believers from the past who are in the Bible and some who are in church history. They become a cloud of witnesses. It doesn't say crowd. It says cloud. Remember, Jesus went up into heaven in a cloud. It wasn't just a white fluffy thing in the sky. It was all the witnesses from the past communities, from the people of God from the past, were there to welcome him back. What does it say? He's coming back in the same way as he went. That cloud of witnesses that we will go to join and be with. That's what God is going to do. So there are people like Adam and Enoch, Jacob, David, some people. I've met some of those guys in the heavenly realms. You can meet them and talk to them. Also, some people like Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Coleman, A.A. Allen, and people like that, great revivalists who had mantles of revival power on their lives. I think, well, isn't that talking to dead people? No, they're alive in heaven. Their spirits never die. It's eternal. So we shouldn't be frightened of some of these things. And we will do it. And what I saw several of them here in this room, surrounding the outside of this room. Smith Wigglesworth, A.A. Allen, William Branham, Catherine Coleman, Francis Hunter. Those are the ones I recognize. And there were others I didn't recognize. And what do they have with them? They had mantles. Mantles were cloaks of authority and power in the Bible. They were symbolical. And they laid down their mantles over the floor so that it became like a pool of anointing. Which was like God saying that those old mantles, those old revival power authority mantles are going to be released again. You see, those guys want to be involved in our fulfilling their destiny, because they didn't finish. They went to be with Jesus before the end. So they've got a vested interest in us completing the job. Like a relay race. You know, the first three runners of a relay race, say a 400 meter relay race, can do fantastically well. But if the last runner doesn't take the baton and complete the race, the rest of it's a waste of time. Because only the one that crosses the line with the baton first wins. So everything that's gone before us is waiting for the last generation to take the baton and fulfill the race. Because it says we've all got a race that's set before us to fulfill. Individually, corporately, and we can be part of that generation that fulfills and sees the end. Jesus returning in authority and power. Those mantles, I believe, are going to become available for us. So, I want to ask you a question. Faced with the promised land of your inheritance, because we know the promised land talks about our inheritance, will you be the Moses or the Joshua generation? Because you have a choice. Because actually the promised land is not just filled with milk and honey and nice things, it was also filled with giants. Will you see the giants and see yourself as grasshoppers, or see the giants and see yourself as giant slayers? Because you have a choice. You can see the obstacles and see the things in your way and give up and say, well, it's just too difficult, it's too hard. Yes, I know I've got an inheritance, but It's just too hard to receive it. I'll just stay where I am. Or you can actually say, no, there is an inheritance that belongs to me, just like Joshua and Caleb did, two of the 12 spies who said, forget what there's there. It's what God says that matters. And God says, you will take this land. Now, those who didn't want to go in took the whole generation of people through 40 years of the wilderness until they all died. Every single person other than Joshua and Caleb under the age of 18 or 20 died in the wilderness until a new generation were willing to go in. Where are we? Where are you? Will you fight with all the other tribes for the land and not just your own portion? Because they didn't just go in and say, right, I want that little bit because that belongs to me. They went in together. They went in and took the land together. They fought alongside each other. They destroyed the giants. They took the cities. They did what God said together. And it's absolutely vital that we are together in the purposes of God if we're going to fulfill and see our destiny. There's three scriptures that I believe God has given for this year. Isaiah 43:18. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So if you think your life is a bit of a desert right now, there's a promise that God will make a way for you. And he will provide for you in that place. Because he's going to do something new. Isaiah 42:9. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. That's why prophecy is so important. Because God starts to tell us what he's going to do beforehand. And he's saying new things for this year. Verse Isaiah 41:15. Behold, I have made you, and this is talking about us as a church particularly, a new sharp threshing sledge. Now, something to do with the harvest. I think a threshing sledge. With double edges, you will thresh the mountains and pulverize them and make the hills like chaff. That talks to me of stuff in the way getting smashed down. Every obstacle being removed. Jesus saying, speak to the mountain and tell it to be cast in the sea. All the obstacles to what God wants in our lives, God is going to give us new levels of authority and power to see them removed. It's good news. But does mean there's going to be some things that have to be dealt with. Okay, now this week I went to over to the Jubilee Centre in the middle of nowhere, where it is. Where is it? Sort of Latford way, some. Coleridge out that way. And I met with Lindy and with Paul. And we actually came and we said, okay, what does God want us to do? And so we sort of sought him for a while, and we actually, Lindy said to us, actually, I believe God wants us to step into the heavenly realm together. Because we've never done that before, been there individually, together, and to actually take before him a scroll and ask him to show us what he wants to do. I thought, that's pretty scary. It's like, what if we don't see anything? What if we step in there and nothing happens? And all these things were going through my head. And, I'm not used to doing that with other people in that way. Anyway, so we said, okay, if that's what God said, that's what we'll do. So we just sat in the chair and we said, okay, what we'll do, we'll take a scroll for each other and we'll take it before somewhere in heaven. We don't know where. We'll just step in and see what happens and we'll see what God says for that scroll for each other. So I went and we were sat there. I walked into a place and there were sat three, I assume they might have been angels. They were on a bench and they had this scroll. And I saw things written on the scroll. Then I saw them get this big seal with like a wax seal and stamp it. And what I saw them stamp it was affirmed, approved, and granted or something like that. Just sort of on that scroll. And it was great. And I wasn't sort of 100%, it was a powerful encounter, but I was a bit like, well, is what's on this scroll okay? So I just, that was it, was what I saw. So I said it, I wrote it down, piece of paper, gave it to Lindy, and she said, wow. That's all she said, wow. Oh, is that a good wow? Is that a bad wow? Anyway, so next thing, going again, there's this scroll for us. So I'm sort of standing there, sort of, and I see what's going on. Now, the great thing about this, we all saw the same thing, which is was a blessing. We all saw the same thing, a bench of three angels in front of us with these scrolls as we stepped into this place. And this time, it's like I was watching, and Lindy gave this scroll, and then she saw what was written on it. I didn't see what was written on it to start with. And she saw it, and it said, first thing it said, Apostolic Resource Center. And afterwards, I said, well, did you see a build? No, she said, this was the vision, not a building. And then she saw the whole thing, realigning the parts of the apostolic vision. And there was the different parts that we have here. And this is really interesting because we met on Monday night, a few of us, to talk about some of this. Then she saw serving a bigger vision, removing the barriers of individual identities. Government was formed and empowered to strategically lead the vision. This was on this scroll. I thought, wow. That was my reaction. And then she said, what I saw was approved, commissioned, financed. Praise God. And then we went and did the same thing for Paul. And actually, it was an awesome time where we were all in the same place, seeing the same thing in the heavens. We'd never done that before. And that was like, and that was what a regional apostolic thing's about. And then these guys showed up in the afternoon from Exeter, and we just wanted to meet with them because they asked about what we were doing. So we met with them, and the whole just apostolic prophetic thing opened up, and we spoke into their lives and into their situation, just opened the whole thing up and told them that when they've got a clarity about what was on their scroll, to come back and we would do the same for them. Not because we have any ownership over that in Exeter, just because we want to bless and release apostolically what God is doing, so that that enables people to fulfill their mandates. So this has obviously implications for us. And while I was standing there, I saw a picture of something that we saw on the Monday night, like a wedge-shaped thing of cheese, which is what we used to call the Trivial Pursuit things. You know, little circles with little cheese wedges in it. And I saw this picture. And as I saw the picture, I saw that on a scroll, God came and he ripped it up. And I saw him just rip the whole thing into shreds. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? You're ripping it all up. But what he did, he ripped it all up and he put it all back together, and there was no cheeses. It was just one whole thing. So I thought, hey, you're doing something, God. So in light of what's already been happening, a realigning of ministries, we've seen the FSP and the church coming together in terms of doing what God is wanting us to do. Freedom Communities has been formed of what was House of Heroes, come into this whole group of ministries. There is going to be new strategies, a new wineskin, a release of God's vision and purposes to come. Awesome stuff. You know, God is actually doing some wonderful things, and he's telling us what he's going to do ahead of time so that we can be involved in it. 2013 from the world's point of view. 13 is not a nice number, is it? No one really likes 13. You know, some airlines don't have row 13. Some elevators don't even have a 13th floor. Friday the 13th is seen as an unlucky day. The number itself stands for unlucky, devastation, destruction, confusion, and many other negative things. And that's what the world sees in 13. What do we see when we're looking at 2013? I hope none of that, because I don't want any of that stuff. 13 for us is not about bad luck. It's an opportunity for our faith to be seen in the midst of what's going on in the world. That there may be instability and chaos, but actually we have stability because we've got a relationship with the God who is the King of Glory. We've been singing about it today. The King of Glory, Jesus. We have a relationship with him which brings stability if we put our trust in him. It gives us an opportunity to be examples of God's blessing and favor. Now, God gave me a warning. In terms of things being rebuilt and reestablished, a warning from the rebuilding of the temple, in, you find the story in Haggai and in Ezra and other parts of the Bible, Nehemiah, where they rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the city walls. And there was a warning. When God gives a vision and he gives us an inheritance, opposition comes. Now, opposition came to rebuilding the temple. And what happened was, rather than being prepared for opposition, to start with, discouragement. And they started to ask, why did God call us? It was too hard. It's like, why did he call us to rebuild this thing when it's too hard? Discouragement. Disillusionment. Did God call us at all to do this thing? And the third thing that happened was disinterest. They stopped caring and they built their own houses and left the temple unfinished. We have to be careful that if opposition comes, we don't let it discourage us, cause disillusionment or disinterest, but we overcome it and see the promises fulfilled. Because nothing good comes without effort. It takes effort to accomplish something. God wants us to be aware that there is opposition, that we have authority to overcome it. Okay. Now, I think I will just leave it there. And next time I will actually share the word that I've got and then also do a prophetic review of the different prophetic words that have been brought out nationally and internationally. Because I've got a review, but there's quite a lot of slides for those. I will put this prophetic word and the prophetic word of the stuff to come on the website so you can actually look at it ahead of time. Because it will probably take a while to go through the 30 or 40 slides that there are, which just says what this word is. So I picked out some of the things today which illustrate some of the things I feel God's saying. But ask yourself the question, what is he saying to me? What does he want me to do this coming year? What changes does he want me to make? What of my inheritance does he want me to possess? What do I need to do to become more like Jesus this coming year? Ask yourself the question. Because you can hear lots of prophetic stuff and have no engagement with it at all unless you make it personal. Prophecy has to be earthed. In other words, what does it mean for me? And all these great things, actually, we're going to see miracles of healing. Does that mean I'm going to be healed this year? Well, take what God has said and apply it to you. Yes, I'm going to be healed because God has promised healing this year. Am I going to be seeing healing flowing through me to bring healing to other people? You've got to earth this stuff in your own life. What is God saying to you? How does this get out work for you? Because this is a year of new things. New beginnings, fresh opportunities. Yes, we need to continue to see God transform us and change us. But the context is that we've got to fulfill our mission. We've got to see lives transformed. We need to see people saved and healed and delivered and brought into wholeness and brought into peace, brought out of addiction, out of bondage, out of everything that holds them back, into the fullness of wholeness and peace that God has. God wants us to come into peace. Peace is not just absence of war. Peace means in the Bible completeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. So if there's anything missing in my life, then I'm not whole. But God's heart for me is to make me whole. If there's anything broken in my life, then I'm not whole. And God's heart and purpose for me is to be whole. So look for this year for the opportunities to be made whole, to come into peace. And let's get some joy and love to go along with it. Because God promises love, joy, and peace. That's what Jesus gave. He demonstrated love. He promised peace beyond what the world could give. And he promised his joy would be in us so our joy could be full. But it's very difficult to be full of joy when you're broken and not whole. So God wants to bring us into wholeness. Amen? So really get hold of this stuff for your own lives and go to God and say, God, how does this fit for me? What does it mean for me this coming year?